we finished verse 7. I'm going to read the first 7 verses, just kind of a jumping off point, okay? First 7 verses of chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, imitators as followers, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So once you walk like God, be imitators of God in love. But fornication, uncleanness, and we always think like, well, what are we talking about? Well, don't do the world's version of love. It turns out that's perversion. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. It's all sexual in nature, by the way, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Okay, so the way I'm going to not fornicate is to give thanks. To a very large degree, yes, we talked about this. You remember I was saying, I don't care if women find me attractive or not. I really, really, really don't care. There's one woman who thinks I'm a hot property. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you think of that all the way through. You've got one woman or one man who thinks you're something special. How many do you want? Isn't that an awesome thing? We praise God for that. So giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. You remember I was joking about, I must have read that wrong. Of course I didn't. We know that. When we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which gives us a different list, but says the same thing. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now you're going to bring out your history and you're going to say, oh yeah, but the time I did this and that. Stop. History, we talked about that before. It's overrated. And when I say history, I mean 10 minutes ago. Here's a new beginning right now. Don't miss it. It's a new day. It's a new... I don't care if you were fighting on the way to church. We've never done that. Wait, why are you laughing? But that's then. And I always, like... Usually, you know, if that ever happens, I will say, oh, you know, I'm going to minister the word. I got to clear that up. I can't leave that, you know. So, well, you know, I'm sorry, honey, in my part in this fiasco, and I was being a jerk. Whatever, right? I don't, because I think history's overrated. You got a new beginning, you got a new day, you got a new, his mercies are new every morning. I don't care what you used to be. If you're practicing these things right now, that's very problematic. You read the verses and let them speak to you. I'm not going to sit here and say, ah, you're fine. I don't know that. You said, Adam, I thought you said you couldn't lose your salvation. Well, the question I would have is, did you ever have it? You can sin, you can fornicate, commit adultery. With no problem, just keep up in that. And you're telling me you're saved? Well, let God be your judge, okay? But I'm saying these verses, they're going to mean something. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. New verse now. Don't be partakers. It says have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them? Let's define that in a verse to come. I'm going to put that on the back burner for a second. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, it didn't say you were sometime, once upon a time, you were in darkness, but now you're in light. It doesn't say that. It says you were darkness, and now you are light. What is it talking about? Darkness is people, a group of them, the majority of them usually, who are promoting an idea that is ungodly, anti-godly. I don't know if anyone's ever seen anything like that. And if you haven't, you don't watch the news. And you're not paying attention. Now, new sheriff, we're starting to roll some of that back. Are we going to roll it back all the way to where it should be? Obviously and evidently not. But we're going in the right direction. And I find joy in that we're moving in a... For whatever reason... We're not going to check out people's motives. At the end of the day, as a nation, we're going in a better direction. That's all I'm saying. More of the light is coming to the surface. more of the darkness is going away. The quickest, best way I know to get rid of darkness is to turn on a light. Right? You walk in the room, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. I don't care how well you know the furniture. Somebody left, the grandkids left their toys out. It's Legos. You're going to step on it, your bare feet. It's going to go bad. Turn on the light. It's wonderful. It's easy. That's how we get rid of darkness. What does it mean to walk as children of light? I'm glad you asked. For the fruit of the Spirit, what were we talking about the Spirit all of a sudden for? Because the Spirit of light is going to lead you into walking in the light. Walking in the Spirit, and for our intents and purposes, and walking in the light, and these verses are going to be the same thing. Do you think the Spirit's going to lead you into darkness? Do you think it's the blind leading the blind? How dare you think the Spirit of God is blind? That's ridiculous. He's the Spirit of Christ. Christ says, I'm the light of the world. Now, as we're filled with the Spirit, and he's introducing the Spirit because he's going to play this, you know, kind of introduce here, and then later on, 18, talk about being filled with the Spirit. So here he's introducing, and he's saying, this is the way the Spirit operates. He's going to get you walking in light. What does that look like? It looks like goodness and righteousness and truth. What's the opposite? Badness, unrighteousness, and error. And he would never lead in that direction. So walking in the Spirit and walking in the truth, for our intents and purposes here this morning, are the same thing. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving is demonstrating. Demonstrating to who? Everybody! I think sometimes we think talking is enough. It's wonderful. We can talk, we can post, we can talk with our fingers, press post, and we can say something godly and good and share it. You can teach a Bible study class or group. There's a lot of ways you can talk. You can just, in the workplace, when something comes up, and it always comes up, everything in the news comes up, you can talk about, but at some point you get it's beyond talk. At some point it's demonstrate by being Spirit-led, filled with the Spirit, what's acceptable unto the Lord. Now, what does it mean when it says, verse 7, don't be partakers with them. Have nothing to do with them. God says, I want you to have, if he's an unsaved person, don't talk to them, don't look at them, don't have dinner with them, don't go over their house, don't share the gospel with them, you have nothing to do with them. No, obviously not, because we know there's more verses. We got to look at all the verses, right? It's saying have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Can I do neither one of those? I mean, I'm not going to fellowship with them, but I don't want to reprove them either. I'm just going to kind of, I don't want to, you know, stick out like a sore thumb. I don't want to, if I start talking to my friends and say, hey, stop fornicating, I wouldn't be popular. Hey, I got news for you. You're not that popular now, so you might as well say what need and speak in truth and demonstrate. I think it's mostly demonstration, but there's sometimes where you actually have to use words. I don't know who it was. St. Francis or some, I don't know, some whatever, right? Said, you know, share the gospel every way and every day and every way, and sometimes use words. I'm guarded against sharing that because I know what he's saying. I know, live in such and such a way that you're living the gospel. Amen. It's not just you being mealy-mouthed and judgmental and pharisaical, but sometimes you got to speak. Sometimes you have to say something. Somebody said something really profane work the other day. Well, they always do. when you draw a line, it's a construction site. When do you draw the line? Well, at the name of Christ, do you draw the line? They said the most vulgar, I can't even, I'd tell you, but it's a shame, we'll find out, to talk about those things in verse 12. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. It wasn't secret, it was out loud, and I probably should have said something out loud. I let the opportunity pass. I wasn't very wise, I'm afraid. I can't tell you his name because he might listen to this, or somebody might listen to this and give it to him. It's a very, very Bible name. Okay, like someone's name is Joshua, and you wonder, you know, does his parents, or Thomas, you know, it's a Bible name, right? Or his parents people of faith? If someone names their kid Deuteronomy or something. You know, you're dealing with like faith parents, right? You don't just, not that anyone would do that or should do that for that matter. But I mean, if you got a, like a super, super Bible name that you don't hear all the time, he had that name and he said something so, and I should have said something. I dropped the ball. You are mad at me now? I understand. Because public deserves a public reproof. Or at least I should have took him aside and say, hey, what's the deal here? Why are you like that? Why are you talking like that? You know, just profanity. Just regular profanity. I'm going to get the whole world to stop swearing in my presence, right? Probably not. I always think it's like a weak mind trying to express itself forcefully. If I taped you and played it back for you, you'd realize how ignorant you sound. But that's neither here nor there. When do you speak and when do you not? When do you forbear? Do we walk around looking for people to mess up and then just read them the riot act? Sometimes you have to say something. You're not into reproof. Sometimes you shouldn't let people get away with certain things. You have to enter into the discussion. And you have to do it calmly and godly and prayerfully and not pharisaically. They're going to accuse you anyway. But here it's talking about, don't have fellowship. It's not two fellows in the same ship. The word is koinonia, a sharing of lives, a sharing of hearts, an intimate connection, okay? We're not to fellowship. If I said, verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with, you couldn't go to a family reunion, are you kidding me? You couldn't go to a wedding, most weddings. You know what I mean? And even if it was a godly wedding, you'd say, yeah, but there might be an unbeliever there, I can't go. You wouldn't even go to church. You can't have no partaking whatsoever. No fellowship. You're not trying to be like them. You're trying to imitate God. That's what we're called to do. Very, very often we let them have a... I was talking to a good friend, a dear friend of mine. His daughter teaches public school. She's in a youth group back along. She's pro-choice. She wasn't back along. What? She get in with a group, and this is how it happens, and you want to be part of the group, and these people, you get to know them, you get to like them, and then you get to be like them, unless you're very, very careful. It don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The verses 3 through 5, don't have any fellowship with that. Reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done them in secret. Sometimes I'm teaching and I just hint at something and I don't say it out. Why? Because I always have this verse in the back of my mind. Now, sometimes Scripture goes to a place I'm wishing it didn't. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you want me to talk about that? You know, it's something that's, and you can all be thinking of them right here, right now. But I don't choose to talk about, you know, things that are, but sometimes the Word of God teaches on such and such a thing. And I don't want to be weak. I want to say what it says, teach it, and show it for what it is. But this is like, you know, we don't want to gossip. We don't want to, did you hear about, you know, Jack? Oh, yeah, what? Well, he, and then we go into all the lascivious details. And it's really a prayer request. You got to pray for Jack because, no, we're just sharing things that are unseemly and, yeah, how about this? You pray for Jack. What happened? Nothing good. It was bad. Just trust me, it's bad. You need to pray for him. How about that? You know, as an alternative. But we go with these lurid details, and it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying it. Scripture's saying this. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's why we reprove. We bring to light. We bring the light to bear. This is spiritual. This is spirit-given. This is spirit-directed. We bring the light, speaking the truth in love. We bring the situation to life. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's why we turn the light on. We go into a dark room. Now it's manifest. It's obvious. We see. We see the Legos and the whatever, and we navigate around them. Just that easy. We bring light to bear in a situation. What's light? Well, you hold it in your lap, of course. What else is light? Nothing. Your opinion? Don't make me laugh. Your opinion is no better than my opinion. Let's open our Bible to third opinions. Who cares? Opinions, right? The old saying, opinions are like armpits. Everyone's got a few of them. Most of them stink, right? We don't care. Bring the Word of God to bear, not our opinion. Sometimes people ask me my opinion. I'll like everyone else, I'll share it with them. But I always want to say this, like, disclaimer. That's just me. I don't have a verse. I'll tell you, I don't have a verse for that. I just, you know. But we want to reprove the works of darkness. We want to bring the light to bear. And that's a spiritual thing. Wherefore, he saith, arise thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, most of you will have a gloss, and will say something like Isaiah 60, verse 1. I don't think that's it at all, by the way, because I can tell you Isaiah 61 is one of our favorite verses. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. What does that got to say about sleepers? Well, it says arise, so if that's a quote, it's not a very good one. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Doesn't really talk about death at all. I think it's a bad quote. Some say this was a song that the early church sang during baptism. I don't know that. But he's not saying, as it is written, so, you know, for whatever. Now, having said that, he's quoting it for a reason. Awake. Don't be asleep. Don't be like that. Don't be sleeping in the light. Oh, listen, here's why I got to worry about, you know, launching off into a sermon. This is church in America in the 21st century, asleep in the light. What are the kids doing? What are they saying? Okay, well, we'll say that. We'll do that. Reprove? Oh, no. Applaud. Well, we want to be relevant. I don't care if God approves. My son is applauding my... And we try to be just like them as much as we possibly can so often. And we're just asleep in the light. Reproving? Now, I understand, because when I say reprove, you're thinking about somebody who, you were church hurt at one time. You walked into a church and they gave you the business for something silly or stupid or unbiblical they may have even said a good thing in a really, really wrong way. I get that. You don't want to be that, but that doesn't mean, like, throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm never going to help out anyone to see the light or walk in God's way. I'm going to let them walk in error because I'm worried about they might not like me. And we do this. Maybe I'm lecturing a group of people who by and large don't do that. And I would say that's probably the truth. And I don't want to, if God's speaking to your heart, I don't want to unspeak to your heart and say, no, it's okay. But I just want to take this right to heart. Do we do this? Do we bring light to bear in every situation? Awake, you that sleep. Arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See, then you walk. This is the last of the walks in Ephesians. It's the seventh one. Coincidentally, not at all. Some of you know, I'm big on numbers in Scripture. I really am. I don't think there's any number. Now, if you go through like the book of the Revelation, you'll see, you know, seven this, seven that, seven churches, seven stars, seven angels. You see seven bowls of wrath, seven trumpet judgments, seven sealed scroll. You see all this, 777. And then there's all these subtle sevens. You know, there's seven Beatitudes scattered throughout the book of the Revelation. Somebody made a list and it was hundreds. Hundreds. In the text, in the, that, you know, kind of below the surface that you wouldn't really, unless you like, you know, we're counting them. The sevenfold description of Jesus Christ is given to us in chapter 1. Yeah, you can turn there and read if you want, but I'm telling you, there's seven. So the seven walks throughout Ephesians. Walk in truth, walk in love, don't walk as the Gentiles walk. And here, we're to walk circumspectly. Circumspect. Anyone circumspecting today? You're saying, I don't know circumspect. Circum, around, right? Walk around. And it's a walking way that's guarded. Like that you're not just trudging. You're not just slogging. You're aware. You know where you're putting your feet. And by the way, I think we've talked about this before. Walking scripturally has nothing to do with preambulation, getting from one place to another at all. We're talking about your lifestyle. We want you to walk in such and such a way with wisdom, engaged, knowing what's going on, seeing what's happening around you. Is that asking too much? Because we don't very often. I talk to people and I say, are you aware of this and this and this is happening? No. I didn't know anything about that. Are you even praying? Yeah, I get... I want you to watch CNN every day to figure out what's going on. You won't figure it out there. But however you're getting your news source, however you're understanding what's going on, you know, it's a good day. Every day something's happening that's giving me joy. Nationally. That's been a long time. Am I maintaining my cynicism? Yeah, you got to keep that in place. Yeah, you're going to need that. But don't be so cynical you can't praise God for things that are happening. Be aware. Walk knowing. Because I know a lot of people, they live their life right here. That's the whole thing. They don't think. They don't think of eternity. They don't think of children. They don't think of their heritage. They don't think of their future. They just think of getting high. We'll address that. They're not thoughtful people. And we're supposed to be thoughtful. We're supposed to know. We're supposed to be aware. We're supposed to walk circumspectly. Not as fools. The Bible says a lot about fools. But as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, what does that mean? It's not chronos. It's not like a chronicle. I just had it and I lost it. It means this, buying up opportunities. If you did like a timeline back in school, you put a dot on the board, the birth of somebody or a nation, and then you put a line across and, you know, an arrow off into affinity, and you put dots on it, you know, when that person rose to prominence, when something bad happened, when whatever it is, right? So that line is one word for time, and that's not this word. This word is the dots, those situations, those events, those interruptions in the normal flow of things. I shouldn't even put it that way because I think it is normal enough. Buy up, redeem, buy up those opportunities. Why? Because the days are evil. You ain't got a lot of them. And you'll only have so many opportunities. And I think we as Christians sometimes, well, maybe it's just me. I missed that opportunity to say something to that guy. That's okay. I'll have an opportunity in the future. Maybe. But I didn't obey this verse. That's okay. I mean, again, you know, you mess up, forgiveness, go on with your life, right? Don't beat yourself up. Don't. It's not. And try to, Lord, I messed up. Can I get another chance? Can I get a do-over? Why not? Redeem. Like Jesus redeemed you, he purchased you. Purchase the opportunities. So you've been talking to your Aunt Jane for 20 years about the gospel, and every time you're around her, you just share Jesus Christ with her, and she is exasperated with you, and she doesn't, she loves you, but she doesn't want anything to do with you most days because you're going to tell her about Jesus, and she's going to go nuts and stuff. Until the doctor tells her, hey, get your house in order. You got like 6 months. And she comes to you and she says, okay, tell me more about this Jesus. And then you sit and you pray. I wonder if this is one of those opportunities. Well, prayer is good. Look at, God just put a flung a big open door in front of you. For goodness sake, walk through it. This always, it's the right opportunity. It always is. I shouldn't put it that way because I know some people just like, it's not always the opportune moment, as you well know. But if you think it even might be a little bit, pray and go headlong right into it. Redeem every opportunity. The days are evil. Don't let opportunities slip through your fingers. I always kick myself afterwards. But if I say something, it could go any way it wants to go. It could blow up, it could go sideways, it could... But I'm not responsible for people accepting or embracing or listening. I'm only responsible for bearing light. Okay? So I want to bring Bible. Again, I want to bring my opinions. I don't want to bring statistics, really. I want to bring what... This is what the Bible says. God won't hold them guiltless who take his name in vain, was what I should have said. Okay? That's what the Bible says. I bring light to bear on the situation. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise. See, the whole thing, darkness is unwise. It's foolish. It's living life in a way that life wasn't meant to be lived. Now, you were darkness. I know I was. That's what Scripture says. I wasn't in darkness. I was part of the problem. Now, you are the solution. The only solution. You are the light. Bring the light to bear. Buy up all the opportunities. This is wisdom. This is godliness. This is spirituality. Again, in love, right? That's key. I've said before, you know, I've talked to people about, you know, sharing the truth in love. I said, how loving was that? Well, at least it was true. It's not like speak the truth, and if you don't do it in love, well, refine that a little bit next time. I think speak the truth in love or shut up. Because if your motivation isn't to bring that person to Jesus Christ because you love them, they'll figure that out. If you're just trying to one-up them. Now, when I'm talking about this, you know, if we're not very, very careful, we're going to slip into religiosity. You know, I was thinking about this. Do this, do this, do this. Oh, don't do this. No, 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 no. Don't do any of this fornicating, sex it. Oh, no, no. Don't even let it be named among you. But rather do this. Walk this way. Do this and do this. And I give you a list of do's and don'ts. You're thinking like, eh, Exodus chapter 20. What am I going to do these things? Because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to be saved if I do them. If I don't do them, uh-oh, that's going to be really bad. No, you remember, I can't teach this every week. I can't start with all first three chapters. God has done this for us. He's done this for us. He's done this for us. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He saved us from the foundation of the world. He's given us the earnest of his spirit, an inheritance, a down payment on your eternity. He's done all these things for us. Now, because you're going to heaven, because you're saved, because he's demonstrated his love for you, I want you to walk in such a way that's going to be really a benefit and a super cool and a fun and a good and a healthy and a... Are you earning your salvation? You're not getting one whit closer to being more saved than you were way before we started this on Ephesians. You get it, right? I just want to keep... Because if it comes at the end of the day, like this is some diatribe on do this, don't do this, then I really failed. Walk in the light, because you don't want to be stumbling around, because you want to act like a wise person, because you want to help your fellow human beings, people who, there's only two teams, there's darkness team and light team, and you can switch from team darkness to team light. And you want people to do that. So you want to be able to, you know, tell them and share the gospel with them and reprove. And, you know, I think about, like, remember Paul when he's before? I think it's Claudius. I might be wrong. And he was talking about, like, right and wrong and the judgment to come. And Claudius says, oh, I'll hear you in another season. Why was he talking like that? He was reproving darkness. Because at the end of the day, we're not ready for a Savior until we realize we're sinners. Fair enough. I mean, isn't that how it was with you, really? Yeah, Jesus, that's well and fine and good. Whatever, religion, yeah, I don't know. It's got to do with some, I don't know, church or something. I don't know. No, he's the Savior of the world, and we don't need him until we understand we need salvation. And that is the whole thing in a nutshell. And that's why we're sharing the truth in love. We're not trying to, again, that's so key, that's so important. And we're buying up the opportunities. We're not being wise. We're walking circumspect. We understand what the will of the Lord is. You understand the will of the Lord now? I wanted to talk to you about something. Will of the Lord. More times than, a pastor will probably answer this question more times than just about any other question. What's the will of God? And that usually is talking about a certain situation. Well, if I have a verse, I'll share it with you. Well, you know, God, this guy is dating me, and I want to know if it's God's will to be married to him. Well, it depends on the guy. Is he a Christian? No? Oh, well, I know God's will. I got verses, okay? Well, yeah, he's a Christian, and we can talk about it. We can pray about it. You know, I got this offered this job in Ohio. Does God want me to move to Ohio? I don't know. Columbus? I can't find a verse. I'll pray with you. I mean, you know what I mean? But I'll get something better for you. I mean, really do. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, strength. Walk in the flow of the Spirit. Love His Word. Keep putting in your life. Share with others frequently. Try to live a really godly life. Try to get to know Him. Try to get to draw in closer to Him all the time. You know what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself walking right in the middle of the will of God. I really, really believe this with my whole life. Now, sometimes I'm confronted with a situation, and all of a sudden it's right there, and I'm like, I don't know what to do in this situation. Pray for wisdom. He gives us wisdom, right? And He won't upbraid. He gives it liberally. He just slathers all kinds of wisdom on us when we need it, right? And if we don't know, I think that's a you problem, because we didn't approach Him and ask for wisdom, for guidance, because maybe we wanted, you know, our will over His will, maybe for a lot of reasons, whatever. But He wants us to know His will. He's not like the Easter Bunny hiding, you know, Easter eggs throughout the universe. You're getting colder. Oh, cold, warmer. He's not like that. He wants us to know His will. Where would He put it? I don't know, somewhere I could trip over it real easy without even hardly trying. That's one, you know, one way of knowing it, right? But again, what does it say about moving to Columbus, Ohio? So then you have to love the Lord. You have to walk in His ways. You have to try to be filled with the Spirit of God. You have to do the things He's told us to do. And I think you'll find yourself in the middle of the will of God. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And not knowing that is unwise. Because again, did you ask like James tells us to ask? Not following the clear teaching, the clear instruction of Scripture. That's unwise. And don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What a curveball. Wait a second. We're talking about understand what God's will is, and then don't be drunk with wine. How did that get in here? Let's just look at that. Get rid of that verse, because that doesn't obviously belong here. It's not in the flow. It's kind of, it's just a very, very random verse, right? No, he's going to talk about what the will of God is. And he's going to talk about what it is and what it isn't. He's going to compare the two. Don't be drunk with wine. That's dissipation. It says excess. You got another word for that? Yeah, wherein is, huh? Debauchery. That's the word. Drunk with wine is debauchery? Yeah. Don't be drunk with wine. Now, I can't sit here and say, don't ever drink alcohol in your life, including NyQuil. I can't say that. That's how I feel, personally. You know, back in Proverbs 31, it's not for kings to drink wine. Say, you think of yourself as a king? I think of myself as a leader, and we're all kings and priests, aren't we? Aren't we? No, it doesn't fit into what I want to do. But certainly drunkenness. Don't be drunk with wine. Now, is it okay to get drunk with, you know, rum or, you know, wine or beer is okay, or hard drink, just don't get drunk with wine or marijuana or don't alter your sobriety. Can I put it that way? Can we agree on that? His saying don't get drunk with wine isn't saying as long as you drink whiskey, you're okay. It's certainly not that, right? Or any other, don't get drunk with heroin. I know it's not drunk per se, but it's still in an altered state. But instead, rather than that, be filled with the Spirit. Now, as those are only two options there are, you're drunk with wine or you're filled with the Spirit. Those are the only two options. Most of the people I know aren't in either one of those conditions most of the time. And they are conditions in the sense of they're conditional. Why is he talking those two things? We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about being led. He introduced the fruit of the Spirit back in verse 9. Now he's saying be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. But you can't do it in the sense of you can't be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you just huff and puff and concentrate real hard, you're filled with the Spirit. No, it's the language is you have to receive the Spirit, and he has to be given. Okay? Now, some of you are saying, listen, I know a little scripture. I was filled with the Spirit, Acts chapter 2. I came to belief in Christ, and the Spirit of God filled me. I'm not disagreeing with that. And you'll say, and according to Ephesians early on, he gave me that Spirit that is the down payment of my inheritance. And I know from other scriptures that the Spirit comes into my life never to leave whatsoever. None of that. I'm not arguing any of that. Here he's saying keep continually being filled is the language. It's continuous present action. What do you do with that? Because I know people, Baptists. I'm sorry, Baptist. We're in a Baptist church. And I remember one old, he's a retired Baptist guy. Good guy, loved him. And I wouldn't tell you his name because I'm going to say something that I disagree with him about. I got it all when I got saved. What do you do with this verse? And I asked him, and I was calm. And he stumbled and bumbled and didn't say anything that was worth repeating. Keep continually being filled. And by the way, Acts chapter 2, you know, you read Acts chapter 2 where they're filled with the Spirit, and then you read Acts chapter 4 where they're filled with the Spirit, and they're not referring back to Acts chapter 2. This, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit, all through the book of Acts, free refills. I think that's a wonderful program. I even love it at Denny's when the lady comes around, tops your coffee off. Free refill. I love free refills, and God's definitely doing that program, free refills of the Spirit. It's not a once-for-all thing. I'm not talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not. I think that's a different, we don't have time to go there. I think it's different. But be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. One of those two? No, they're just a good comparison. Again, most of the people I know aren't either one of those conditions. I go to work, and they're not Spirit-filled people. But they're not drunk with wine at that moment. But if you've been drunk, I know a little bit about this. I was in the Marine Corps. I'm not bragging about that because it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But I had some adult beverages in my life. I dare say I was drunk once or twice or more. I gave myself to an agent, and it made me act in a certain way. A buffoonish, silly, idiotic way, right? Ken says, nobody ever got tanked up all drunk and broke into your house and cleared your drain. Nothing good comes of intoxication. We know that. Drunk driving, bad stuff, abuse of women and children. All your guards are down. You don't have any filter. Nothing good comes of drinking alcohol to excess. Nothing. What's success? I just tell people this. There's not really much difference between one beer and two beers. There's really not, if you think about it. There's a huge difference between zero and one beer. That's why I go for zero. Because I know what will happen, too. I'll be out with my wife, and we'll be out for dinner and celebrate an anniversary. I'll have a glass of wine or something. I know somebody will see me who's really struggling with that. We don't do that, okay? We don't do that. Because if I did that, somebody would see and then say, well, Adam, he's cool. He loves the Lord. He teaches the Bible. If he can do it, so can I. Well, I'm not responsible for their bender. They're going off the wagon and forget about it. No, I'm not having anything to do with it. I want to be filled with the Spirit. Continually keep being filled with the Spirit. I was filled with the Spirit in 2024. I really was. I prayed and I felt God fill my life and directed me and caused me to come closer to Him. And like I used to yield myself to that alcohol, now I yield myself to the Spirit of God. It's all about control. Who's controlling your life? Are you controlling it? Is some foreign agent controlling it, like alcohol, like dope, like? Or is the Spirit of God controlling it? That's why he takes these two things. Don't be drunk with wine, we're in a success, but be filled with the Spirit. Adam, how will I know if I... Because you say I was filled with the Spirit, and I was in 2024. In 2025, I need a fresh filling. I was filled with the Spirit in January. I really, really feel like that in my heart of hearts. But that wasn't good for February. I needed a fresh filling. Free refills, I told you, right? Keep continually being filled. So you're telling me you're a Spirit-filled Christian? As far as I know. Well, how do you know, Adam? How do you know? That's what I'm saying. Because I prayed for the Spirit, and nothing really happened, and I wasn't, like, changed in a really dynamic way that I could talk to you about. I'm not sure if God heard my prayer and if he filled me with the Spirit. How do I know? Ready? Did you become a worshiper? Because that's what it says. I'm just looking at the verse. How do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I sing all day long and all night long. And I praise God. I'm not trying to brag. I'm really real. Listen, if you could see my heart right now, I'm just trying to give you a good example. I'm not trying to brag. I'm really, because how would you brag about being filled with the Spirit? I had nothing to do with that. Just asked. It's like if I was begging for bread and somebody gave me bread. Don't brag about your fact that you got some bread. You didn't cook it or make it or bake it. You just got it, right? Same thing. Worshiper. Well, Adam, I'm not really into... I'm just telling you, the Spirit of God makes you appreciate. You know what the spirit of worship is? Just wonder. He died for me. He hung naked on a tree for me, for my sins. That's so immense. You lose the wonder, you lose the worship. Well, does that mean I got to stand here and act like some and raise my hand? Like, I don't care what the expression is. And maybe you're saying, like, you know, I don't sing good. I really, people around me are hoping I don't sing. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He knows you don't sing well. Maybe. You probably sing better than you think you do, but that doesn't matter. Whether you can hit the notes or not. And you're right. The person around you, if you can't hit the right notes, that's a little bit of a distraction. We love it. We love it. We just joyful, belt it out. We don't care, right? That's how I feel. And God give you that awful voice. That's praise his name. Some people sing better than others. But that's not the point, is it, really? Lord, I love you. Thank you. You're so wonderful. You're so awesome. I was so lost. I was so out of it. I was so contrary. I was darkness. Look at me now, your own dear son. Ah, praise your holy name. Is that worship? The Spirit of God, he exalts Jesus Christ. He doesn't bring attention to himself. We went over that in John, in the Gospel of John. Jesus taught us about when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to lead you into things regarding me. He doesn't speak of himself. You know, even in Scripture, he's like an unnamed servant. Typologically. Speaking of yourself. So, I know I'm Spirit-filled because I'm gifted musically. No, because I'm just worshiping God. Because I never lost the wonder of it all. Because I'm so thankful. Oh, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things? Yeah. Well, I had gout. Yeah, gout. All things. Well, a lot of those things that you want me to give thanks for aren't good things. Oh, suffer well. Just, Lord, I don't understand. And I listen. Please. I'm not saying this cavalier. I don't care about you. I don't care about your suffering. No. We all suffer. We all just have different. Well, yeah, but if you had what I understand. I understand. Lord, thank you for all things. He's superintended. He's superimposing. Why do children get cancer? Come on, are you kidding me? I don't know the answer. I really, really. What does anybody get cancer? Or heart disease, or Alzheimer's, or why? It's a fallen world. It's bad things happen. Lord, you're the God of all of it. Now, I don't want to sit here and tell you how bad I've had it and how it's been gone so bad for me. And I'm just saying, we all. So you're going to suffer. You're going to have some things happen in your life. You keep breathing. Maybe today you're just rocking it. Maybe everything's going great for you today. I hope it is, by the way. But this is Scripture. Can I change it around just because I don't want you? You know, you went through a divorce and it was very painful. You had a situation, or you've got unsaved loved ones, or maybe it's a sickness, or you lost your job. Well, just praise the Lord. You know, at everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That person should shut up. You should hit him with a hymnal or something. That person should just. What they're saying is true, but they're not saying it in a really good way, right? We can cry together. I'll give you a big hug. You can give me a hug, too, because there's always stuff in my life. I mean, there is. We all get some things that are just. You know how it is? One part of your life is going excellent, good. Can't even, you're rocking it, right? Another part of your life, oh, let's not talk about that right now. That's kind of usually the way it is, right? So we're worshipers. That's how we know we're Spirit-filled. We have thanksgiving. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last point, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That means no hierarchy. Everyone's equal. Well, in a way, that does mean that. Don't get rid of authority in your life. Next verse is going to talk about authority in the household. If you're worried about verse 21 and you're a female and you think I'm going to beat you up, or verse 22, don't. I know I'm not a beat you up type pastor. I'm really, really not. And it's a real, I think that verse, those verses are super blessing on marriage. God invented marriage. Remember that. He's awesome. So we're worshipers. We're thankful. And by the way, did anyone know the new health thing is gratuity? Being grateful is new. You talk to one of these naturopaths or one of, I listen to Dr. David Jockers. He's Christian. I would follow him. If you thinking about diet, nutrition, health, stuff like this, I don't say that easily about because so many people are talking and they have a lot of baggage. He's a man of God, and I've learned a lot of stuff listening to him. And his thing is like gratefulness. Gratefulness is really, really healthy for you. And I'm thinking, who'd have thunk it? But, you know, and they're walking around in the dumps with, oh, you know, my life is so bad. That's not healthy. I mean, it has like physiological ramifications, but that's a story for another time. But we're submitting, so we're thankful, we're worshipers, and we're submitting ourselves one another in fear of God. What does it mean to submit one another in fear of God? It's a military rank to line up under. It's back to the old Jesus first, others second, you last. Your needs are more important than my needs. Your wants are more important than my wants. We're lined up under in the sense of like, is it an authority thing? No, I'm still pastor. You know what I mean? Your boss, when you go to work, he's still the boss. Obey the traffic laws. The cops are still the cops, right? Don't disobey laws. Don't cheat on your taxes. You might end up in jail or whatever. But what it means is like, when somebody comes to me and says, Adam, you know, well, you said, I'm not sure about this because the Word of God says this. Well, I am, just like you are, subject to the Word of God. And I'm wondering if you heard me wrong, or I wonder if I just might have said it wrong. And if you tell me, I really appreciate, because we're all subject to the Word. We're subject one to another. We're submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's Spirit-led. Arrogant, taking your place of prominence. You don't have a place of prominence. Nobody does. Adam, you're the pastor. Today, God can change that so fast. All you do is get a little arrogant, you'll see if he doesn't change it or make me fall flat on my face. We're submitting one to another in the fear of God. We're thankful and we're worshipers. Check, check, check. Oh, you're spirit-filled. But you need to keep praying. Lord, fill me with your spirit afresh. Will he? Well, tell me if he doesn't. We'll see what's wrong. Maybe you're walking in rebellion. He doesn't want to like give his seal of approval on your rebellion, maybe. I think more times than not, he wants to. Because remember, Jesus tells a parable. This is my last point. I know I'm right up against it. He's talking, he says, you know, if one of your sons ask you for a piece of bread, would you give him a rock? He asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Hey, kid, play with this. You wouldn't do that. And you're evil. You know how to give good things to your kids. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Do you remember that? He wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants you to walk circumspect, wise, and he's given you all the provisions. Do you remember? He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He's going to give us some commands here, and he's going to give us the wherewithal to fulfill the commands. Isn't he wonderful? And this is a wonderful way to live. I mean, it really, really is, if you think about it. You know what? It's not a wonderful way to live. Verse 3, 4, 5. I don't want to have fellowship with those people. I want to rebuke those people. I want to, and it's even a shame to talk about those things. Okay, let's stand. Let's Isn't that wonderful scriptures? I mean, okay, taught maybe not so wonderful, but they're wonderful scriptures. You got to admit that. So right where we live, such a benefit.